So this is Adriana Widows, and today is June 28th, 2016, and I'm here with Afel Wilson at Third State in Hudson, New York, and we're here with the Oral History Summer School and its project to collect stories of Hudson area residents. Afel, could I please ask you to introduce yourself?
Yes. My name is Othel Wilson. I'm 33 years old, and I've been living in Hudson now for going on 7 years. I've been here for quite a while. Time flies. Yeah.
Okay. How about you tell me a little bit about where you come from?
Okay, I am a native of Raleigh, North Carolina, which is the capital of North Carolina. I'm from actually a very large city compared to Hudson, by millions actually. So moving here was a huge transition as far as speed of life and quality of life. It's a lot different here. North Carolina was pretty amazing. I grew up in a house, I'm the oldest of nine. We all lived together, worked together, and played together, so that was all good. My mom is the warden of a women's prison, and my dad is the dean of the college I went to, Shaw University. There at Shaw, I studied international business management. However, I didn't pursue it. I didn't really think, by the time I graduated, it was 2004, I wanted to be a travel agent, and computers knocked that job out of the market. So it was really nothing I wanted to do, and I really didn't want to be a assistant to some corporation where I plan trips for, people that work there. Which made me go into aesthetics. I became a skincare therapist. Did that for about 2 years and moved to Hudson. I finished that when I was 27. Yeah, 27. So I moved here when I was 27. And I've been here ever since. It was like contagious. The niceness of the people here, the friendliness, how after a while, everyone kind of knows each other, because literally I think Hudson population when I moved here was almost the same population as my high school graduation. So it was kind of weird because I was like, oh man, I know everybody here already. So it's been kind of fun.
Can you maybe share an early memory you have from when you first moved to Hudson?
Well, tragedy brought me to Hudson. I have one set of family members that lived here their whole life. My Uncle Staley, which is my grandmother's brother, moved here right out of college in the 50s. And he had children later on in life, so his daughter and myself are the exact same age. So where she's supposed to be my dad's age, she's actually my age, if that makes sense. And he fell very ill. And I was actually vacationing in Laguna Beach, and my cousin called me up and was distraught because we're, the thickest thieves. We're the closest probably in the family. She'd come down every summer to North Carolina because we had the swimming pool and summer's funner in the South, I guess. But I like it better up here because it's not as hot. but he got very sick, and she needed help because she's an only child, and her mom still worked nights. And he became what they call in the medical field, a full assist, meaning he needed help almost all the time. Bathroom, baths, meals, clothes changing. I mean, it got to a point where he was so bad they amputated his leg. He just was sick. And so I came here to help out, and it just took them a while to go, if that makes sense. And by that time, you find yourself, had a dog, I had stuff, you know, I was like, wow, I live here. And I didn't realize, like, I came with one suitcase because, mind you, I was on vacation when I got the phone call. I brought my vacation suitcase with me from California and from Orange County, came straight here. And I've pretty much been here ever since. I can just remember the earliest memories here, it being really cold. That year, there was like a blizzard. Yeah, my uncle joked, he said, every time you come to visit, there's a blizzard. Why do you keep bringing the blizzard? And I was like, I don't know. Every time I come, there is like 10 feet of snow. But I was here enjoying it. Me and Alexis, we get along so well that aside from us having him as a full-time job, it was, you know, we are having a good time. Eventually, he passed, and that was tough. And you know, my family from down south, they came up and they asked me, are you coming back? And I thought about it while they were still here, because I was like, I might as well just jump, since my grandparents are here, jump on a plane with them and go back home, you know, start over. And I decided not to. I said, I'm a grown up. If I go, I took me some soul search, and I was like, if I go home, I'm going to be right back in that same space with, you know, family not really taking care of myself. Like, you know, when you have such a large family like I do, you find yourself dependent because you're just so used to someone always being there. You know what I mean? When it's that many people. And so I said, hey, and started my life, decided I had to focus and figure out what to do next.
And what are some of the things that you decided to do next?
I'm glad you asked. That's exactly what I wanted to hear. I decided to go to hair school. I said, well, I'm already an esthetician. I already pretty much know the curriculum. It's not that much different when you're dealing with the integumentary system. All skin, nails, hair, they're all the same. When you really break down the structural part of it. So I started going to hair school. Now, there is no hair school anywhere near here. So I was bused, got up every morning at 5:15, caught a bus, the only bus that goes down to up to Albany, and started school in Albany. And that was kind of my job. And the nurse took care of my uncle during the day while I was at school, and then I was just on shift afterwards until my cousin got off work or, you know, whoever got there. But it was pretty cool. Hair school was great. I took to it very well. I actually became the student speaker for the second time in a row. Every college I go to, I end up being the person they ask to speak at the graduation. So I was like, all right, this is going to work out. So I got after I graduated, I got a job on Warren Street at a place called Casa Urbana, which is something I'd never seen before. Only in Hudson. It was a boutique in the front that sold like soaps and just lotions, candles, that kind of thing. Girly stuff, I like to call it, but you know, I love candles and soaps and loofahs and scrunchies and cards, stuff like that. And the hair salon was in the back. And being that I was a new stylist and I really didn't have any clientele, the owner, who is awesome, his name is Ken, let me split up my time between running the front, managing the front end, and, you know, picking up pointies and learning how to do hair, because just because you graduate doesn't mean you're ready to pick up a pair of scissors and get paid in a shop. You know, there's a lot of bad haircuts before you're good at anything. You know, like with anything, skincare was totally different. Like giving facials, giving advice, you can't really mess up skin unless you burn them. But hair was different, so it was challenging, but I was up for it. It was gay owned and operated like many other shops here. So I felt like, well, this women and gay men, hey, fun. And we had a great time. I worked there for 2 years.
You said that you always end up being asked, or you've been asked to speak at your schools more than once. Do you have a sense of why that is?
For one, my voice carries a long ways. I barely need a mic. And besides that, I'm really passionate about when I do things. Like, I try to participate. Like, some people go to school and they're just doing their own thing in their corner, or They are, you know, an introvert or cliquish. I like to be involved, you know. When people would come, guest hairstylists would come and, you know, give, what do you call those? Not exact. What do you call, like, when someone's showing you how to do something?
Tutorial?
Like a tutorial. I would always be the one raising my hand. I want to help. I'll do it, you know. That's just me. I'm a talker. I got along great with the teachers. And I guess there's a lot of reports and oral exams and stuff like that in school. And I guess they always ask me somehow, some way. And I'm a really good speechwriter. I have to say that about myself. In college, and which I was also asked to be, but in undergrad, I was really good at writing. I've always been a really good writer, or expressing myself on paper. And then it's just all about, you know, saying it out loud. easy for me. Not many things come that easily for me. Like, I'm not really a carpenter. I'm not really a painter, you know. I'm not really a singer. Or I don't really play instruments. I was a dancer. But, you know, speaking always came naturally to me. So, and I think people pick up on that.
You mentioned that you always tend to get involved in whatever community you're in. Mm-hmm. So are there other elements of the Hudson community that you've done, or other areas?
Absolutely. I've been on the LGBT board since the summer that I moved here. I've helped organize the parades here. A lot of volunteer work with, for instance, at the library when I first moved here. I was so bored that I really didn't have anything to do when everybody went to work. I started tutoring the Bangladesh community on how to speak English. Volunteered at the library a lot, which that was also at the library, but there's other things you do at the library, you know, like help the old ladies with the kids in the back. All kinds of stuff. AmeriCorps was a great vehicle for me to kind of be notified of things that are coming out or placed and be around people that with like minds, obviously. I'm just involved. Everybody in Hudson knows who I am. If you would take a walk with me, you'd see that. I'm always, hey, how you doing? Hey, hi, what's up? Hey. So I'm just involved. Here in Hudson, there's a lot of art gallery openings because there's a lot of galleries. And when you go to the art gallery openings, you know, you're there with basically your community. Like, at some point, everybody in town probably comes through or comes by most of gallery openings. There's usually a couple a night on the weekends of the summer or during the week. So there's kind of something to do, you know what I mean? To mingle. That's not, you know, a bar or clubbing, there's stuff to do, you know, for a young guy. Let's see. Anything that really sticks out. I through AmeriCorps, I became my teacher's aide at John L. at the, well, I call it a middle school down south, but they call it kind of elementary here. We don't really do it like that down south, like second through 6, I think it is here, or something like that. Like, down south is like K through 5, then 6 through 8, then 9 through 12. So it was different, but I really love where I work with the third graders. And I just, children are wonderful to me. I just love being able to go at the core of the community where it all starts. Because around third grade, they start developing real their social personalities for the probably what's going to be the rest of their school career here or the rest of their lives. And to see that as them budding into these small people, like, you know, it's almost like looking at a toddler go from a toddler to a child. It was amazing. It was really fulfilling. I wish that I didn't hurt myself, didn't get hurt, and had to quit, basically, due to an injury.
Can you explain a little bit about what happened around your injuries?
Sure. You're going to get a kick out of this. They asked me to cover recess at the school, and it was either raining or snowing outside, so we were all in the gym instead of outside on the playground. Yeah, it was definitely snowing. And I was playing basketball with the kids, and I was standing half court, and they go, "Mr. Wilson, Mr. Wilson, shoot the ball." So I shot the ball, and it swooshed, went right in. The kids got so excited that they basically dogpiled me. And when they jumped on me, they were just excited. God knows, they were just clapping and so excited that they twisted my back two opposite ways. And all I knew is I heard a snap, and they didn't even know I was hurt. I was in such, you know, shock and shaking that I couldn't get out of screen to let the other teachers know that I was down. And finally, I let out a yell because the adrenaline caused me to pop back up. You know, when you have adrenaline, like if you touch something hot, you'll snatch that. Well, when I hit the ground, I jerked back up, and then that's when the scream came. And all the teachers, they ran over, and they couldn't move me because it was obvious that something was broken. I had no idea what yet. I didn't know if it was a rib. I didn't know what it was. I didn't even know how severe it was at the time. And the ambulance came in the middle of the gym. No, that's not how it the ambulance didn't come in the middle of the gym. The other miracle workers picked me up and took me to the nurse's office. They immediately, when the EMS got there, they said, "Oh no, something's wrong for real." Because I was like, I was screaming. Like, I guess, according to the nurse or the people that were around me, it was a scream like you don't hear. Like, something was wrong. So they put me on morphine right there on the spot. Boom. And the next thing I know, I was being wheeled in the back of an ambulance and taken to the hospital. And after they did the x-rays, they said that my back wasn't completely broken, but it was close enough to being broken that I'm still down from it. Basically, what is it called? The stuff in between, the ligament in between the spine. Anyway, I pushed out. So my spine was leaning on each other and grinding like that. That's where that pain was coming from. Like I had two vertebrae grinding on each other because the ligament in the middle had slid out or slid halfway out. So it was kind of like that. And from there it was history. And the odd thing is, I have grown up dancing, cheerleading, gymnastics. I have literally been thrown in the air almost three stories and caught, and I have never broken a bone. I was like, how in God's name did I go 30 years without breaking a bone ever? And my first go at it is I break my back. So that was actually a very humbling experience in my life. It was kind of depressing because you start to get cabin fever. You can't move. You got to depend on everybody to do everything for you. When you have a broken back, what are you doing? You're not really doing anything. I had to literally like call my cousin when I had to use the bathroom or wait for somebody to come by. Well, luckily I have a lot of friends here in Hudson, so people were checking on me all the time, so it wasn't really that much of a struggle, but I did start to feel like I was a burden because I was burdening myself, if that makes sense. I was just getting a real bad case of cabin fever. There's only been so much Netflix you can do, and I started missing the kids, and they sent me almost 1,000, I got almost 1,000 cards from the school, handmade from all my kids, and I was just missing my life because I was finally happy doing something. But I don't know, Hudson held me up through it. So I'm just glad that I was here versus maybe if I was in California and didn't know anybody and something happened. You know what I mean? So that's what happened with the injury. And I'm actually still going through to this date, still going through. My last surgery was the 22nd. So I'm still getting stuff done to it. Still not right yet. But we're working on it. I'm optimistic.
Did that experience change how you approached your independence? I know that you mentioned deciding to stay in Hudson because you wanted to be a little bit more independent than you were in the South. Did it change that experience for you at all?
Yes, only because it started to make me bitter being sick. And when you're have all that time in your head, you start to judge yourself. And because you have all that time in your head, because you're not doing anything, you're sitting there looking at TV, you're just thinking constantly. After a while, you start thinking about your life before the accident and started thinking about it forward. And it's like, wow, man, this bites. I was like, I really can't do anything. I couldn't lift over, even when I was walking, I couldn't lift over 5 pounds. So there's grocery shopping. Had to have to find someone to take you with me grocery shopping every time I went because I couldn't lift. I literally could, physically could not. So it did change my perspective on life. It's scary. It's just scary. When you break an arm or you break a, I don't say break a leg, that I'll get to that. Or you break a finger or a collarbone. You know, I'm not going to say it's not as bad, but I could have easily never walked again. And when you think about how close you are to that, it can really affect your outlook on life. Like, I just don't know how paraplegic could do it. The little time that I was down, I was going crazy. I mean, you know, like, I was going crazy. If it wasn't for the constant cycle of friends coming by and checking on me and bringing me snacks and you know, thinking of me, I probably would have been in a worse depression than I was. So, yeah, it did change my outlook a lot. And going forward, whatever I do, here in Hudson or wherever life takes me, I am definitely not going to take anything for granted. I'm not going to be able to take the ability to run fast for granted, you know, things like that. The ability to skip, you know, the ability to jump rope. I love to jump rope. I love to hula hoop and dance. And I was on the phone with my mom and they were so far away. And I was like, what if I never get to dance again? What am I going to do? What if I don't ever get to, you know, again? Because at that time, early on, I didn't know where the procedures were going to lead me. I didn't know if I was going to get better or worse, you know? One faulty doctor move and boom, dang, you're down again, you know? Or one millimeter to the right on a nerve in your spine, you're down again for a whole nother reason, you know? So, yes, moving forward, I'm definitely more appreciative of not only Hudson, but life in general.
I want to go back to maybe when you mentioned your cousin. You said you two were thick as thieves.
Yes, we're tight.
Can you talk a little bit about your relationship with your cousin and how it has developed here in Hudson?
Sure. I hope she doesn't kill me for this, but you know, we have always been really tight. I mean, like, even when I was catching the bus, the city bus down south every day, we talk on the phone while I was on my way to aesthetic school, to school. Every day, we at least once or every other day, we talk, even though she lived here and I lived there. And the thing about it is that we had never lived together before. So we were almost at each other's neck for a while, plus the stress of taking care of a 250, 270 pound man. Like, her dad was a huge footballer. Like, he was up for the Heisman. Like, huge guy. He worked at the prison here. Like, and if you can imagine the strain that it was to take care of him, because he had his needs that he was used to as well, and he was stuck. That's another thing about my back. It made me think about how he must have been feeling when we had to come and change his diaper, or he couldn't go to the bathroom. But anyway, the stress of that caused us to, we got a pretty nice falling out. And it was bad. We completely stopped talking for a year. Like, I mean, zilch. We're two very headstrong people in our own right, You know what I mean? So we were just like, you know? And it was tough for me because then I was really independent because I had nobody. So it was just me. I had to find my own place. I had to find, you know, I didn't even know how to approach finding a place at that time here. I just kind of got lucky that I had made some friends that knew stuff, and I found a place, and we became friends again maybe a year and a half after that, and it was just like, okay, we're done now. She had a baby in the meantime, and oh, what did it was, someone called and said, Alexis is at the hospital giving birth, and no one's there with her. And so I ran. It was so funny because I was literally just getting off the bus from Albany. I still had on my uniform, school uniform, everything. And I just ran straight to the hospital. And I got to see a baby being born. And after that, everything else is kind of petty. When you see your cousin that you've been tight with your whole entire life, and I didn't even get to see her through the pregnancy because we weren't speaking. And once I saw Jaylee being born, it was like, this is all for naught. Okay, we good. And from there, we went on. Just moving on. And now we're back to normal like nothing ever happened. So I guess we just both had to grow up a little bit in our own right. And losing a parent is also stressful because I had to back up and during that time that we weren't speaking and I was pretty much on my own and think about the fact that I don't know how I would be feeling if I lost my father. It had to watch it. I mean, like, with your eyes every day, sicker, 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 to nothing. And I can only imagine she was probably going a little crazy too. I mean, if I know if I was going crazy, she had to be. She's an only child and a daddy's girl at that. So now, I think we're stronger than ever. Nothing could ever probably break us. It will have to be something catastrophic to probably get in between us now because, I mean, we really went through it.
Is there anything else you would like to talk about?
Sure. I want to talk about Something major did happen to me here in Hudson. And I'll go back to the broken leg story. But one evening, I was at my new place. The one I was just telling you about when I finally had to go out and find my own place. I was doing a good job. I was keeping the bills up. I was so proud of myself because I am such a shopper. Like, you know, like going without new shoes and new shirts and new, you know, having to pay that all my bills, that kind of independence by myself, I was doing good. I was proud of myself. So I was out one day with some friends, and I met a guy. His name was Brad. And Brad was up from Brooklyn. And I don't know if it was Pride going on or what was going on that weekend. There was something going on in Hudson that weekend where a lot of people up from the city were here at all the beds and breakfasts. And we had just went on this amazing date. I mean, I haven't ever been on a date like that ever where a guy took that kind of time out. You know what I mean? Like, open doors. And I was like, whoa, you know, this is cool. Well, that night, we decided that we weren't tired yet. We'd go out and grab a bite from my favorite, my favorite little dive. At the time, it was a dive. It's not really a dive anymore. Wonder Bar. And we ate, everything was good, everything was wonderful, and then we walked back home, we were walking back to my house, and two men came up behind us and smacked me across the face with a baseball bat, smacked him across the head with a baseball bat. All I saw was his blood gushed on me. That's how hard he got hit. And I'm a fighter. I immediately started fighting because I didn't know what was going on. Can you imagine getting hit? It's like getting hit in the face with a baseball bat at full swing. Because we heard the guys coming up, and I say to Brad, because they were coming up fast, and I said, let's just let them by. You know, I said, let's just let them, you know, through. Let's just they're obviously trying to, I thought that they were trying to get to the gas station. There's a gas station at the top of the hill. I thought they were trying to get to the gas station before it closed. But no, it was a hate crime. And my face was destroyed. You can still see scars if you really look. How my lip was busted, you see, if you really look. But it healed up nicely. But I mean, I was destroyed. I had lost a shoe because I was trying to run home. The only reason I think that, and the guy was, it was a little one and there was a huge one. Like, and because I remember when I was fighting him off for me, that I was having to lift to punch upward. I would never forget that. And if it wasn't for the neighbors heard me screaming. She came out and bang, pots some pans together. Bang, pots some pans together. And they ran. So, I grew up black, gay, and in the South. I've had some stuff been called some stuff. I've had some stuff done to me, you know, as far as bullying goes. But never to the extent where they're strangers and you have no idea. And I was just on this was like our first date. And I was like, oh, there it goes. There goes that situation, you know what I mean? Like, who wants to go back on a date with somebody that reminds them that they have gotten attacked? You know, I was blood everywhere. The police were called. One of the biggest things that I will never forget about Hudson is that I didn't report it. Because as soon as I reported it, it's such a small town, it would have went on the APB. The news would have picked it up and it would have been front page, I promise, the very next day. A hate crime in Hudson. And I just didn't want to be the face of that. And my cousin is an alderman here. Her dad was an alderman. So she was in the public eye too. And I was just like, you know, I really don't want to give the attacker that. It was odd that we went through the police officer who actually has died since in a car accident. The police officer, that Officer Wrigley, that was helping me out, he did a great job. He went to every store that I walked by that had video surveillance stockpiled, every video, to see if he could get them on camera, to see who they are. But we only got them on one camera. They cased us because they saw us through the window at Wonder Bar. The camera picked them up looking at us. I didn't even notice them back there because my back was turned to the window. He was facing that way. But they showed us the video of the two guys, and I thought that I saw the two guys the next day, but I'm sure I was, what is it called, post-traumatic stress syndrome. I'm sure that I just, because I was jumping at like every noise. If the doors were slamming the house, I would jump. Or my roommate would come home, you know, for the longest time. I was afraid to, but you know what? The next day, busted face and all, I said, no, I'm not going to give these people this power. It's my generation that got marriage equality for gays. It's my generation that has paved all these new things that are happening with society, from the first black president to gay marriages. We did that. Our voting age. I'm not going to give them that power. So I went right back to the same restaurant, talked to the owner, and acted like nothing. I wore it like a badge of honor. I didn't come up. And if you know me, you know that, especially look at my job. I do skin and makeup and hair for a living. So you know I was feeling some type of way about my face with my lip hanging off and my nose split in half. And Brad was having to get his head shaved for stitches. And I'm just glad that it taught me, I found strength in myself that I didn't know I had before. And the community was so, everybody was just so concerned, like, what happened? Because of course, as soon as one person knew, everybody knew. So it was a real experience. That changed my life. If you've ever been the victim of a hate crime, now I've been called a lot of stuff. Like I said, I'm from the South. There's some real bigots. That's where the KKK originated, in the town over from Raleigh in Johnson County. Like, I've heard some stuff. Stuff has happened to me. I've been called the F word before. I've been called the N word before. I'm conditioned to those things. They don't really faze me that much because I don't give them power. But when somebody physically attacks you and mixes that with those words at the same time, it can be terrifying. And life-changing, and it changed my life. And looking back, I'm glad that I went through it, because now my heart is open You know what I mean? Where it could have been closed before. I was happy-go-lucky, but by open, I mean, it's hard to describe. I'm getting emotional because when someone takes that power away from you and nobody really can give it back, it's something that just that you work to get back. Because I'm a confident guy, you know? And it just to have been that naked during that time, it really showed me that I was stronger than I thought I was. So, yeah. I'm gonna stop talking about that.
Thank you so much for sharing that.
It moved me. It moved me, and me and my cousin were fighting, so I was just by myself. Literally. Oh no, I had a dog because the day I moved in the apartment I bought a chihuahua, but that was it. I didn't know I was gonna do that. You're doing good.
Would you like to take a break?
Yes, please.
So one question I wanted to ask you is just how it feels to share some of these stories when you made the decision at the time to not share them publicly. How does it feel to share them now?
Well, you know, I wouldn't have thought about it until you asked that question. So let me try to be honest. It actually feels pretty good that I'm that far from it. And maybe now I can speak to some other people that are younger that are going through some things with their sexuality, their identity, their race, whatever it may be, and help them by telling the story again or by having someone listen to it. So it actually, as emotional as it makes me at times, I really am glad that I shared. I really am. I'm glad I have this opportunity, this platform, to even share it on.
What would you say to a young person who listens to this story? What would you want them to hear?
That in life, you can't control other people's, I don't want to say evil, but intentions or their thoughts or their upbringing. You have no control over that unless it's your own kid. And even then, with internet and media the way it is, the world is raising our children. I would just want to say that if you have a good heart, keep it. Don't let it change you. Don't let life change you, because everyone is living life. And some people choose to react negatively to it. Other people choose to ignore it. I mean, some people choose to be happy. Some people, I mean, it's all about who you are. And if you are a good person and you are trying, and by trying, I mean trying in life, whatever that is, don't let bad situations stop you or change you. Don't let it diminish the light. And even if the light goes dim, make sure you change the light bulb.
Is there anything else you'd like to tell me or share?
Hold on, I'm thinking. I was going to tell you the broken leg story, but now that's kind of... blah.
What is the broken leg story?
Oh, I was going to say, yes, that the day that I was cleared from my back being broken earlier, I then again broke my leg. So that was another year. I mean, another, 3 months, the last 3 months of the year, 4 months of the year, again, without being able to move and having people have to help me. So, the significance is that I spent a year of self-reflection. And I don't know what I'm going to do next because I can't work in the school system anymore.
Why is that?
Insurance. They won't do it. I would have to do a completely... I could work in the school system again, but just probably not in that capacity. Because my back will be weak for the next 5 years. And one quick jerk from a kid could snap me back, you know what I mean? Or hurt me. So I have to kind of calm down. And that's just sad, man. Because I really enjoyed it. And, I mean, my friends that are coworkers of mine that come over to my place now all say that even still down to this day... that the kids are now, they're going to now in fourth grade, are still asking, when is Mr. Wilson coming back? When is Mr. Wilson coming back? And I don't know. Maybe if there's a way I can get back into that, but I have to now figure out a way to use those skills in the community and make money. And all of that has to work together. So we'll see. We'll see.
You ever shared the complete broken leg story?
You
want to share it?
Like what happened? Mm-hmm. Okay, this is embarrassing. So like we were, Co-Work, I'm sure anyone who Hudson knows where Co-Work is, has a wall in front of it, in front of the parking deck. And my friends and I were just from the bar and we were headed back to my house and we had just decided to sit down and gab for a minute. And I got up and I was dancing and twirling and a brick moved and I tumbled to my plight in front of 10 people. It was so funny because the cars were stopping. So I was just like, my leg, no. I was more concerned about the fact that I knew I had broken it because it was too much pain. I couldn't put any pressure on it at all. And I was like, I can't believe I'm going to have to be down again. I was like, it was just bad. I was just dancing. And we were just laughing, having a good time. Me and my core friends, they all took me out. I was like, how did y'all let me fall? Why did y'all let me get up there? But they were like, it was your idea. So I don't know. It was a mishap. So I got it dancing on a wall. And I fell. Doesn't this sound terrible? Like, who would have broken back and get up there? I was just in such a good mood to be able to hang out with my friends again because I couldn't dance. So I didn't go to any bars with them for the whole year. I couldn't, do anything. They'd come over. Maybe we'd have a cocktail or some wine, but it wasn't like we used to, like as a group, go out and dance and have fun together. And then, go to all the spots on Warren Street to go. I was just excited, and I guess the excitement, I guess the Lord was not done with me yet. So that's what happened. My nose running from crying.
Gosh.
This might be maybe my last question, but what are your hopes for yourself? And for the next few years that you have here in Hudson, or not in Hudson, I'm not sure if you plan, but for the future.
I have not really decided yet, because I've been on disability this whole time, and now the doctors are saying I might can go back and do 25% of my 25% work, whatever, however they calculate that into a job, those insurance terms. But I really don't know. I can't say, and I know that's weird, but I mean, I definitely want to work with children again. I don't know. That one stopped me, because I really hadn't thought about it like forward. Because you spend so much time living life that you don't really think about where you're going, and. Just trying to keep the bills up where you're sick and, because it's not as easy when you've been sick to pay everything because you're not working. I just don't know. I'm going to try to find something that makes me happy. And I just know that in some capacity that'll be with children. And it will be with the youth of Hudson, because I feel as though a lot of the youth of Hudson, it's a hit or miss. They're upper class, upper middle class, or upper class, or they're completely impoverished. And the majority, by working in the school system, I know the majority of the children here are completely impoverished. I mean, from kids that come with... I can remember one of my students, I finally went to the store and bought him shoes myself because they literally had no soles. Like, his shoe had no bottom. And it was negative 30 degrees outside. And his parents were sending him. He had no jacket. And there's a ton of kids like that here. So whatever I do, I'm going to try to find an avenue where I can work either one-on-one with kids or in small groups of kids who just need help. Because sometimes, you know, even if you can't do anything with them as far as giving them money, you can find resources to help them. You can give them someone to talk to, because a lot of times in those situations, the parents are super young, so they're still partying. You know, when your mom is 22 and you're 7, what do you think your mom is doing? She's going out. You know what I mean? Especially, you know, or if your mom, even when you, if your mom's 27, it's just a lot of young parents, like, to me, children raising children. And a lot of these parents need help. And a lot of them are not, as, I don't want to even say privileged, but yeah, it's privileged to have the upbringing I had. I mean, I came from a big family, but we were a family. It wasn't like a baby daddy here and a baby daddy there, or this guy, and then y'all got this mixed family. No, it was, we helped each other out as a family unit. Like, I didn't go to sleep until the last person's homework was finished. Me being the oldest, that's just how we work. My sister taught my other sister how to read. I taught my brother how to read. Like, we just wanted, and now we're all college graduates. We just wanted each other to succeed, and we wouldn't let the other one fall. And I don't think we see enough of that anymore. And my community growing up was good, and I want to try to bring some of that here. Because a lot of times it's just kids out on their own. You know, they get up and go to school, if they do get up to come to school, because they want to eat, or because they don't want to miss breakfast, or they know they won't eat lunch otherwise. So, and then they're just kind of sleeping during the day. You can always tell which kids, parents keep them up all night, or partying and doing whatever, because they're in class snoring. And I just can't remember when I was in third grade being so exhausted at school that I was sleeping. Like, it's third grade. You're playing with blocks. There's still blocks. There's still jungle gyms. There's still fun. Learning should be still fun at that time. There's books. There's computers. There's I mean, it's just different here. And I really want to do something in that area. I'm glad you asked me, because now I'm pointed. Did that answer your question? Cool.
Any final thoughts before we conclude?
I just want to say that this is probably going to be one of those life-changing experiences that I had at Hudson. Like, I really got a lot of stuff, like, off my chest that concerned me and how I fit in here in this town. And I haven't had a platform to really sit and talk about that before. So this is great. I mean, I'm hoping that I could come back in a year and do it again to see where I am. You know what I mean? To see if I'm in the same place or if this changed me. So I appreciate it. I appreciate the time.